It's time for your weekly dose of Wayne's Comics.
Welcome to episode 352 of the Wayne's Comics Podcast. Thanks so much for listening. This week features Andrew Rowland, the creator of a series I really like called Melchizedek Origins, and that's just the beginning of the franchise. It's a great book, and it's got some Christian influences, which we talk about. Blending comics and Christianity and spirituality oftentimes doesn't really work unless it seems to be the devil or Cthulhu or somebody else is involved. So Andrew's taking on quite a task, and I think he's doing it very successfully. We talk about the book and what he has in mind for the future, so I'm sure you're going to enjoy what he has to say. There's a lot to get to, so let's get on with the show. It's great to welcome to the podcast Andrew Rowland, the creator of a great little series called Melchizedek Origins.
Melchizedek Origins is kind of like the prequel to the main series, which is Melchizedek, King of Justice.
Okay, well, let me read the description on the back, which I really like. In a world of superhumans, Melchizedek Theologia is chosen by God to become the King of Justice, the living embodiment of God's justice. A young man is visited by an angel and chosen by God to become the Melchizedek, the King of Justice and the living embodiment of his justice. He is then met by a beautiful girl whose uncle was a former superhero, and they become heroes in training. And that has a lot to do with what's going on in the book. Tell me where the concept came for this book.
The whole concept came from my love of like a Christian superhero and sort of like the world building of like Avatar The Last Airbender. And so I decided to kind of blend those two kinds of stories together.
Okay. Why comics? I mean, you know, it's you and I have discussed this previously, and so there's a little bit we'll be covering again, but it's kind of interesting. Christian comics don't catch on that well, at least haven't so far. No. My hope is that yours will be the first that will do that. Knowing that, going into that, why did you decide to go into comics?
I was mostly inspired by this anime and manga series called Bakuman, which is pretty much about the Japanese manga industry, and that kind of inspired me to get into the whole business of comics. During my high school years, I didn't exactly know what to do with my artistic talents, and when I read that manga series, it sparked my interest in making comics rather than trying to get into animation, which is a really hard thing to do. And I've always liked to be able to tell a story, and I thought it was like a really, really cool mix of like literature and animation on paper.
Okay, very good with that. And it's kind of fascinating because I saw you, when I first saw this book and saw you was, I think it was, I'm trying to remember which con it's been. I've been to a lot recently.
Cincinnati Comic Expo.
That's right, Cincinnati Comic Expo. That's where I saw it. And I'm always fascinated. I was talking with you briefly, too, about the fact that there's an organization of Christian comic makers, and you're part of that group, right?
Yes, the Christian Comic Arts Society.
Mm-hmm. How did you join it? I mean, how did you find out about it?
I think I found out either I was like Google searching for a group or if I found them on Facebook. I can't really remember. I can't really remember how I found them.
Mm-hmm. That's good. Well, you know, it's great that you're part of a group though, because you know you're going and then you're trotting on ground that a lot of people haven't done before. I mean, I've seen other Christian companies. There was one I really liked, and I bought all their stuff. And Mike Barron, who wrote Nexus, actually wrote a book for them for a little while, and I really liked it. But then all of a sudden, one day, they were just gone. It's tough with comics to survive. And so when I've mm-hmm. seen your book, and you, now your book started out as little individual sections, and then you've collected them into a graphic novel edition. How did that work? I mean, did you do it as your time allowed? Because you're busy with school and stuff like that. Did you do it because of the time? Was it finances involved? Maybe a little bit of both? Why did you go the process you did?
Oh, like at the time, before I completed the Origins book, I was not back in school at this time. So I was like just, you know, so I was balancing my time with my full-time job at Walmart, and it would just draw whenever I have the chance. And sort of the finance of it is that it's all completely paid for by me, thanks to my full-time job. Mm-hmm. But it doesn't allow me to be able to, like, go out and sell them at Barnes & Noble's or mm-hmm. all kinds of comic book stores.
Mm-hmm. Right. Right. So how do you sell them? I mean, what do you do? I mean, I saw you at the convention. Are you going to conventions to sell mm-hmm. them?
That's the only avenue right now to, like, sell the physical books mm-hmm. is at conventions. And I mostly sell my comics either digitally online, or you'll be able to buy the physical books on sites like Indie Planet.
Okay. Okay. Now, this is your company, I guess, XP Comics?
Yeah.
That's you. Okay. So.
Though I'm actually like a one man company.
Okay. All right. Well, that's how I have to do it sometimes. You have a website, xp-comics.com. I just want to make sure people, if they want to follow up and see your stuff, be able to go there for it. I'm just sort of interested in that, all these good things. It's a real interesting project because, you know, you've got your one foot in each world. You've got the comics world you're in, and then also in the religious, spiritual aspect mm-hmm. of things. And it's rare when a book can survive in doing that. You know, I hope you're a big success. That's what I want to see, because I'd like to see more of this kind of stuff. But I'm always nervous about it because, you know, like I said, if you're not necessarily something a comic store is going to pick up, then you got to struggle a little bit. Have you talked to, like, local comic shops around you? Have any of them picked it up?
Yeah, like here in Muncie, Indiana, like there's one comic book store that is, like, selling, like, some of my issues. Though I'm not sure if any of them have sold, because all the indie stuff is put in, like, a specific area where not a lot of people will find them.
Mm.
You know, so they're kind of put in an odd place. But that's, like, the only comic book store I've ever tried to sell it at.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Interesting. Well, it's good that it's local to you. That's always helpful. Maybe someday you can mm-hmm. offer to do a signing or something with them. Maybe that'll help. But
like, they do that for independent creators all the time.
Oh, good. Oh, good. Because there's a store near where I live, and they do every once in a while they do an Indie Comics Creator Day. And it's nothing but mm-hmm. local indie comics creators. And honestly, you get a huge turnout. People come and they talk about the creations and stuff like that, which to me, when I saw that, I was mm-hmm. real pleased. That's the only store I know that does that in an area where there are a lot of stores. And some of them will have individual signings and stuff like that. But I thought under the head of local indie comics creators was a real strong selling point. It got a lot of attention, which I was happy to see. I'd like to see that in your area. It'd be fun to see.
I think it also shows how thirsty a lot of people are to see new stuff rather than just see nothing but DC and Marvel stuff.
Mm-hmm. Which is nice. I mean, I love variety. I love to see something. That's one of the reasons I was drawn to your book, because it's very different. Now, before we get into the content, I want to talk about the fact that it is black and white, and it's very much of an anime style. In this book, you do the writing and the art, and you do basically everything in this book. Is my understanding. This is your project. So talk about, to me, as you did talk mm-hmm. about, there's some anime influence in there. It's interesting to see biblical or religious or super or spiritual things that have anime influences on them. It's kind of fun to see. It's something very different. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know anime better than I do. Are there any kind of spiritual or religious anime beside your book?
Not a lot that I know of. There was a Christian manga series, like, a long time ago that was called Game Plan mm-hmm. by this creator under the pen name Inkana. Mm-hmm. Oh, like, she was in charge of this website called ChristianManga.com, mm-hmm. which I don't think that site is there anymore. But she was pretty much the inspiration to get Christian anime fans into creating a Christian-themed mangas or comics.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Well, that's good. Well, if this takes off, maybe we'll see more of that. I'd really like to see some other stuff. So, well, why don't we get into this? Get into the story. Now, I have to ask. This is one of those things in comics that people go nuts over. Is this in our universe, or is this in the Melchizedek Origins? Okay, so it's a different universe.
It's completely set in its own universe, but it has like some similarities to our world. Like its history, and a lot of countries that you see in the story are going to be renamed, since it's still different from ours.
Right. Right. The very first page says, "Our world began like in the book of Genesis. God creates the universe, and man is the last and greatest of his creations. Then the fall came and corrupted man forever." And then we get to the notion that angels and humans, shall we say, procreate in the process. And I was kind of interested in that. So it moves into Melchizedek, and he's obviously a descendant of that. And I'm interested when he meets an angel of sorts, and that's how he gets his powers. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he ends up being baptized, basically. He ends up going in the water, and when he comes up, he's got this design on his chest, and his hair's basically white and stuff like that. I'm interested in the choice of getting his powers through baptism. It's something that if somebody's not a Christian, they probably don't know much about. But it is, it's a little like C.S. Lewis in a sense. I mean, you've read the Chronicles of Narnia and stuff like that. This is very much like that. And it takes use of the Christian's illusions to tell the story. And like I said, other people won't care. But for those of us who are Christians, we get a little, oh, baptism, cool kind of feel to it. So how much was that intentional? I mean, was that natural storytelling because of your background? Was that, you know, was it an attempt to try to, and I don't want, you know, we don't want to necessarily proselytize in that way, but how much was it just to, is it take advantage of your Christian heritage and to build those things into the story?
That was like the plan to write the story was sort of like the way C.S. Lewis and J.R.R. Tolkien wrote like a lot of their stories, that we can better spread our message through stories, and as you might say, parables, as Jesus did, to sort of teach others the right way to live.
Mm-hmm. If ever we needed a little more of the love quotient in life, I think right now is the time we need it, to be frank. But I love the story and how it goes on. You know, Melchizedek, his original name is not Melchizedek, but he gets that from the angel. The angel tells him that's his name, and he's now the king of justice. And so what he does, and of course, there's a part when he's just about to get his powers, and he says, how do I get this power? Spider bite, radiation, lightning bolt, or maybe a power ring. And of course, those are all allusions to comics, which is that it's fun to see the going between the comics universes and the spiritual universes. So I like that a lot. And then he goes and he meets a girl, which is really interesting, and begins the process. Talk about the girl a little bit. Who is she and how is she involved in this story?
She's an important part of Mel's story. For those who read it, she's an obvious love interest for Mel, but she's also kind of his moral flaw. You know, as some people say, like, oh, this character is a comedic flaw to this other character.
Right.
That whenever Mel acts stupidly or starts to be immature about things, Eva's always the one who points out his immaturity.
Right. Well, she humanizes him, in other words. He's not necessarily a superhero because she's there to make sure that we see how imperfect he is at times.
Yes.
Yeah, I like that. Her name is Eva, apparently, and E-V-A. And she has an uncle who's there, too. If I remember, Uncle Gabe, is that his name, or what's his name?
Yes. Oh, yeah, her Uncle Gabe.
Yeah. And he's basically there to do some training and stuff like that, which is good. You know, I like, again, this is sort of an anime thing that somebody gets into training and they learn how to do stuff as a result of it. And they don't necessarily enjoy the training so much because it's kind of difficult for them, but they really have a good time. And we get to understand the characters when we see them in you know, adversity and stuff like that. So it's pretty good. I like the way that you do that. Now, there's another guy who shows up with a great big beard.
Mm-hmm.
And who is he, and how's he involved in the story?
That's Eva's father, Michael. You know, so you can kind of see the little references in their names. You know, Michael and Gabriel.
Right.
Those are the names of the two angels that are mentioned in the Bible.
Right.
I get a kick because it's at one point, the two of them, he's asking Michael if it's okay, or he's telling him that he said no to Eva joining Mel on his trip, as it were. And then the father says, no, I'm okay with it. And Gabe goes, what? You're okay with it? How can it be?
Yeah.
This is your daughter. How would you be okay with her being in such a dangerous position? So fine, he says, I'll train both of you.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a fun thing to watch them go through the training. And because they're doing it together, we learn about each of the characters real well. And it's a lot of fun to see how they grow together as they go along. As they start to talk with each other, they discover this initial, you know, this is one of the great romance things that when you don't like each other when you first see each other, you know you're doomed to be destined to be together. And that's kind of what happens with this. It's kind of a fun thing to watch.
But it's also not the kind of romance story where it's like, will they? Won't they? Oh, the drama. You know, because once you read it becomes very obvious that they're going to be future lovers.
Right.
Which was kind of the intention because, like, I'm not a very good writer when it comes to romances.
Mm-hmm. And then we get towards later in the book, or I guess it's a different chapter. You get to chapter 4 and the fall of the League. There's what's called the League of Faiths, and there are several different characters involved with it. One's Red Raptor, Abtal, Anabia, mm-hmm. I guess, Lilith, and Ben Maccabee. And somebody shows up whose name is Natural Selection. I get a kick out of that because, you know, that's sort of science versus faith involved with that. And, of course, they have to take it on with him, and they don't necessarily do well as a result of that. And that's what propels the story. This is why we have to have heroes being trained and things like that. So I like that very much. And then we get to the end of the book, and you cliffhanger us in the final chapter, which is always funny. It's the end of Origins is where they're fighting this great, big, huge guy by the name of Steroid. And of course, her reaction is, oh, man, he's really big. And I got a kick out of that. And that means his body is really big is the good thing about that.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, Mel says, making him an easier target, and then they begin to fight. Of course, now you've got me wanting to know what's going to happen next. Where are you as far as the follow-up? You said the first one's called Melchizedek Origins. What's the next book going to be called?
Like, the next book is going to be, like, the initial main series, which is Melchizedek, King of Justice.
Okay, so it's like the name he was given. That's what's going to happen. Are you going to do them in individual chapters like you did previously? Are you going to jump to graphic novels as you have? Or how are you going to do that?
Well, I've decided to actually post every 3 pages that I finish onto Webtoons. Like, for everyone to see, and once the whole book is finished, then I'll start printing them as, like, whole graphic novels. Because I decided not to go the whole issues route, because, like, not many people are willing to buy issues unless it's, like, a number one.
Right. Well, another thing, too, is that, you know, getting individual issues, it's a little chancy. I mean, what if we see you and we don't get to see you at another convention for a while? I mean, I've got issues number one, but now what? I've read it and I really like it, but I can't find the physical issues.
Yeah.
So I think you're smarter to do the larger graphic novel editions. I think those are kind of good. You know, that's what I got. You had them all for sale at Cincinnati, and I decided to go with the graphic novel. And, you know, it was only, what, $10? Or what was it? How much was it?
At the convention, it was $10.
The printing's good. I mean, I like the slick cover, and the inside's pretty good. Of course, the black and white cuts it down on the cost, too. But it kind of fits the tone of the story, too. So I kind of, you know, artistically, I think it's a good choice.
Mm-hmm. But those black and white books are not going to last very long, because I'm planning to re-release Melchizedek Origins in full color.
Oh, really? So you're in the middle of doing that right now?
Yeah, like, as of this point in time, I'm already coloring chapter 4, you know, so you might see the whole book done in full color very soon.
Okay, because, you know, you see color on the cover, and the back cover has color, too. Mm-hmm. We get to see the character in color. And so, well, that's going to be fun to see, actually. I like to see things in color sometimes. I mean, I like the black and white. It's definitely anime feel to it, but I'd like to see the color. Yeah. Are you going to print them in the same size? Because they're not in regular comic size. This is more like an anime book size.
Mm-hmm.
Is that what you're going to be doing?
The graphic novels are going to be printed in manga size.
Okay. That's good. No, it's not true it's not true manga because you're not going from back to front. You're going front to back, an American way of reading.
Yeah, like it's like an Americanized manga.
Very good. And it's going to be good. Now, how do you let people know when something like that is available? I mean, do you do it through Facebook? Do you do it out on the website? How do you do it?
We mostly send updates through our Facebook. We do have a Twitter account, but we don't use that one as much. Mm-hmm. But it's like mostly through our Facebook. And I think we've added like a store on the XP Comics Facebook page.
Okay.
So you'll be able to order the books from there. You know, if you don't know anywhere else to get them.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay. So I'm just kind of wondering because I like the book. I'd like to get the color edition and anything you have in the future. I think when we talked previously, you mentioned that cons weren't necessarily as profitable as you might like them to be at times.
Mm-hmm.
Talk about that because I saw you in Cincinnati. I'm not sure what the future holds for you. Can you talk a little bit about like appearing at cons in the coming months?
See, for 2019, there's only one convention that I'm able to go to, and that's the Indiana Comic Con.
Okay.
Which is a lot closer to where I live, because like schedule-wise, there's not many more local comic conventions that are happening.
Mm-hmm.
And like there's also like a Cincinnati Comic Expo that happens like the very next month after the Indiana Comic Con, but I have to choose one or the other. So I decided to go with Indiana Comic Con because like that's actually a much bigger convention.
Right. So Muncie doesn't have any kind of Comic Cons or comic conventions?
No, like I think when it comes to Indiana, I think all like the big comic conventions happen in Indianapolis.
Okay. Well, it makes sense. It's a bigger town. You're going to have a lot more likelihood of drawing people and getting people who are interested in that. I do have to say, though, it's funny to me how, you know, when I was growing up, which is a long time ago now, but it was so rare to find anything comic-related. And I would go around, I would buy, there'd be little stores, and I'd, you know, we'd be in there, and we'd be one of the few people in the store that would ever buy stuff. And then, you know, now you go to Walmart, you can get Batman shirts, you go to all these different places. You can buy all kinds of comic-related stuff all over the place. And there's like in the town, in the major area where I live in the Orlando area, there are, gosh, must be like 10, 15 stores, and some of them are part of the same chain and stuff like that. And so for me, it's just so interesting to see how many, you know, and I see people in there at cons who I know before when I was growing up would never darken the door of any place that had comics in them. So it's it's funny to see how wide this whole thing has spread out in the communities and stuff like that. So I'm always interested in conventions, and especially now, like, for example, you'll have four or five conventions going on at the same weekend. You know, not necessarily in the same area, because, you know, when New York was going on, there were other conventions on the West Coast in different areas. And I was really kind of intrigued because, you know, New York is a massive convention, yet there, you know, if you can't go to that, you go to these other ones if you prefer.
Yeah, like for a couple years, whenever I went to the Cincinnati Comic Expo, there's actually a Christian comic convention that actually goes on on like the exact same weekend in California called Alpha Omega Con, which was actually started by the Christian Comic Art Society.
I never heard of that before. When did they have that?
They mostly have it like on the later September. They used to do whole weekend, but nowadays they just do just like a Saturday convention.
Right. Well, that makes sense, yeah. It's interesting. I might have to try to track that down because I'm always interested. When I go, like when I went to San Diego, I think that organization was there selling stuff and talking about it and stuff like that. And I'm always fascinated those kinds of things because I do, like I said, variety is my thing. And I'd love to be able to get to go there and talk and see what kinds of other things people do. You know, my biggest trouble now when I go to conventions, I spend a lot of money to get what I can to support people, you know, especially stuff I like is really well. But when I look at a whole table like 20 things on it, I'm not sure what to get. So I couldn't really get much when I saw their table. But I'm interested to see. I'm going to check out their website and stuff like that and see what I can figure out in there because it just fascinates me. I loved C.S. Lewis, and some people say, oh, C.S. Lewis was terrible. He didn't get everything right. Well, that wasn't the point. You know, he was not trying to get everything right. He was trying to tell a story. Well, you know the story behind the Chronicles of Narnia. There was World War II was going on, and because he lived so far away from London, they brought kids up there to stay with them. And suddenly he was a person who had to take care of children. One of the things that he was good at was telling stories. So he started telling stories, and that's what eventually became the Chronicles of Narnia. So, you know, I'm really happy. He was very uncomfortable with the whole thing, but it turned out to be something that was really creative to him. So, you know, it's kind of fun. It's an inspiration to you, too.
And speaking of Narnia, did you know that Netflix got the rights to do a series of movies for Narnia?
Are they live action or animated, you know?
We do not specifically know, but it might be live action.
Okay, because one of the things that frustrates me no end with the Narnia stuff is that people always do the Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, which is the first one, and then they might do the second, mm-hmm. and they might get to the third, but there are seven books in this series, and I love all seven, and somehow the interest seems to fall off with each one of them. I want to see a series that does all seven. And, of course, Netflix, they binge release. So maybe if they binge release all these things at one time, I'll get to see them all, which is going to be – because I love the books. When I read the seventh one, I had lots of surprises.
I think what the plan is that, like, they're going to release them as movies. You know, they're not going to be a series like Stranger Things.
Okay.
Yeah, like, they're going to do a whole movie on The Silver Chair and The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe as – and they'll release, like, each book as, like, a movie.
They did those out in the theaters. They did the first one was Lion, Witch, and the Wardrobe, which I really loved that movie. I loved all of them. I thought were great. I mean, even though they only did up to the fourth, I think. And I still loved them all. And I was like, more? Where's the more? But they never went and did it. So.
Yeah. I think after Disney, I think they only did The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe and Prince Caspian, which were the first and the second one. Mm-hmm. And then I think Fox took over. Mm-hmm. And I think they skipped the third book and just went on to the Dawn Treader. And I think the reason why they skipped the third one was because it did not – was that the third one did not involve with the kids at all.
Oh, that's
and,
right.
And, like, they just wanted to did the books that had the kids in it. Mm-hmm. And then Voyage of the Dawn Treader, like, did not do as well in the box office, so they just gave up the rights to Narnia. And I think another studio got the rights, and they announced that they were going to reboot the Narnia series, and they were going to start with The Silver Chair, which was, like, a true prequel to to the Narnia series, but then that fell apart. So now Netflix has the rights to it.
Okay, because there was an animated version of, I think, in the Brits put together that I never got to see. I knew I heard of it, but I never saw it. And see, I want to see all of them. I want all seven of them done. I don't want just to get started and then fizzle.
The only versions of the Narnia movies that I know are the Disney versions and the live-action BBC version.
Okay, live action, all right. Because I thought there was an animated one, but I could be wrong on that. It's been a while since I've seen it. But, you know, it'd be fun. It'd be fun to see your book get turned into – you were talking about possibly going anime. It'd be fun to see yours turned into an anime, which would be interesting to see.
Yeah, like, I would rather – you know, like, if it's going to be adapted into, like, a series of movies, like, I'd much rather have it be either 2D animated or 3D animated.
Okay. I'm trying to think what that would look
because, like live action, because live action is never going to do it justice.
Okay. Well, animation sometimes is the best way to do stuff. You've got basically an unlimited budget. Your only budget is what you pay the artist. You don't necessarily have to special effects and costumes and all that stuff. You can draw.
Yeah.
Get the right person, they can draw it. So it'd be fun to see your stuff. So, okay, the color version, you said you're in chapter 4, and there's what, 6 chapters? Mm-hmm. So it's going to be a little
There's actually 5.
5, okay, right. Yeah, there's 5.
Yeah.
Birth of New Heroes is in there. So if you're getting done with 4 and you're going to be working on 5, when do you figure that might be ready to hit the ground?
Well, it actually all depends on my schedule because, like, my school, you know, actually.
Right.
My school actually keeps me real busy, but, like, whenever I have the time, whenever I have some free time. You know, I get, like, 3 pages colored. And admittedly, like, my coloring style is, like, you know, it's, like, nothing special. You know, like, it's a very minimalist coloring style. You know, so I'm able to, like, get through 3 pages in, like, a week or so.
Okay, because I like the cover. You did the coloring on the cover on the back page, right? On the back cover.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like those. I wouldn't mind seeing that style in the book. I think that'd be great.
It's going to be more like a cell shading coloring style.
Okay.
Yeah, because it's like a much quicker way to color.
Okay. Well, you know what? Hey, you know, I don't necessarily worry about the process when I get the book. Whether I like the look of it, that's what I worry about. So I think it's going to be fine. Yeah. I mean, you know, that's something I know artists would love to talk about and stuff like that. But for me, I just want to read a really good book and enjoy the colors. Yeah. And the color doesn't distract me, you know, that it actually fits with the storytelling real well. So I'd like to see that. So
yeah.
Whenever it happens, I guess what I'll have to do is keep my ear to the ground on Facebook and maybe on Twitter and make sure that when it hits that I'm able to get a hold of that with you. You're saying you're only going to get to go to one next year, one convention. I'm not sure I'm going to be at that one. So I got to work on doing that. You might have to really work hard, you know, use Facebook pretty strongly to get the word out.
Yeah.
On that one.
Although there's like a whole bunch of time, you know, before the Indiana Comic Convention, which is like in August.
Mm.
You know, so there's like plenty of time to like, maybe I'll be able to get like a couple issues done of the main series.
Right. That was my next question. That was my next question was, you know, you've gotten the origins done, you're finishing with the coloring, and then you're going to get on to those. So are you aiming for Indiana? Is that what you're aiming for getting those other new issues out?
Yeah.
Okay.
Indiana Comic Con is like the only convention that I'm aiming for.
Okay.
For 2019.
Okay, well, that makes sense. It's good to, if you'll have lots of good product to show there, that'll be fun to see. I think that'll be good. I don't know. I'll have to see if I can figure some way to get there. But other than that, I'll have to see if I can, I'll have to go through your website or something and buy the stuff so I can read them, because I'm really interested in the story going forward. I'm fascinated how you're going to do it going forward, because, you know, you've, like I said, you've cliffhangered us, and now I need to know what the next thing is going to be. I got to figure out what's going to happen.
Yeah.
But I know school's keeping you busy. I know that this is keeping you busy. Any other projects that you're working on that we should be aware of?
No, like Melchizedek is like the only project that I'm working on.
Yeah, well, I can imagine that's keeping you busy. If you're coloring stuff you've already done, you got to write new stuff.
Yeah.
That's going to be, whenever you got any free time in between classes and stuff like that, you're going to be a busy guy.
Yeah.
As far as that goes. But that's good. I mean, it's good to be busy.
So this series is my baby.
Yeah, well, I enjoyed it. I thought it was great to see you in Cincinnati. I was glad to get to read the book. And, like, I'm glad to be able to support something that, you know, because, you know, a lot of us have our feet in two different worlds, you know, in the religious world, the spiritual world, and also in the comic world, and they don't necessarily blend all the time, but it's nice to see somebody making that happen and making it, doing it an interesting way. So, you know, I think you're doing good stuff, Andrew. I hope you keep going.
There's like a little story that I want to tell that I think last year, no, it wasn't actually early this year, like in March, where I went to my first Indiana Comic Con and I was selling the issues. Mm-hmm. And I think like a group of either like high school junior or seniors, or maybe like early college kids, got to take a look at my book, and they said to me that they're actually happy that I'm here, because Christian creators and in the Christian comics are really underrepresented.
I agree with that. Well, I believe with that. I'm glad they said that, because that's true. Because, you know, sometimes I mean, you can read everything about the devils and all kinds of stuff like that. Cthulhu, which I just recently learned how to pronounce, and all that stuff. And I'm going like, well, that we do a lot of that, but we don't ever go the other side, which I would really like to see represented. And I think your book, Melchizedek Origins, really is a good start to that. And why don't you again take, how do we keep up with your stuff? It's Facebook?
Yeah, facebook.com/XP Comics. Oh, my God, it's in one word. Mm-hmm. You can also search for us on Twitter, but mind you that we don't really use the Twitter that much.
Mm-hmm. And you got xp-comics.com for your website. So does that get updated very often?
No, like, it doesn't really get updated as much. I think we're trying to set up a store there, but financially, you know, it's like every time I try to sell something, you know, I have to pay the hosting site,
you know,
some money in order to have a store. So I'm trying to find like a more financially friendly way to sell my stuff.
Sounds good. Well, I wish I could help you with that. I don't know anything about that. I think you're going to have to maybe talk with those
We'll have links.
Oh, good. That'll be good. And maybe talk with those other Christian creators and see how they do that.
On the main, you're on the website, we'll also have links to Comixology and Indie Planet, you know, so you can buy the stuff from there.
Good. Good. Well, you know, I wish you much success, Andrew. I know you're a busy guy, but, you know, I just hope to encourage you to keep up all these good things when you can. You know, it's worth the wait. So I'd rather you did it right than rush through and lose the quality. So, you know, I think that Melchizedek Origins was a great start. I'm looking forward to what you're going to do next. I'm real excited about that. I think that these are great books, and I think that I highly encourage people to look into these.
All right. Thank you very much.
People need dramatic examples to shake them out of apathy, and I can't do that as Bruce Wayne. As a man, from flesh and blood, I can be ignored, I can be destroyed, but as a symbol.
Get the latest from the comics universe. News, interviews, previews, and reviews. Listen to the weekly Wayne's Comics Podcast, so you can keep reading your comics.
That's it for this week. Please be back next time when I'll be speaking with another great comics creator. But until then, keep reading your comics.